listening to The Boss
and the Gloss,
live from Las Vegas on the Sports Map Radio Network. Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. For a job you'll love, visit progressive.com/careers. Now back to your hosts, David Gao
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. We are on Radio Row, and in just a moment, we will be joined by T.J. Ward, who is, of course, the standout strong safety for the Broncos. He won a ring with a Super Bowl ring in, well, it was
with
Super
Peyton
Bowl
Manning,
50.
Super Bowl 50 over Carolina.
Yeah, that was the defensive-led Broncos victory with Peyton at quarterback. So we'll get to visit with T.J. in just a minute. But one thing that I wanted to visit with you about was just this, the coming of the way that everyone goes for plays on fourth down now. They're all trying to go for it on fourth down, and there's always a risk of being too aggressive on that front. And I think Dan Campbell crossed that line with the Lions down the stretch. We may need to come back to that because I think we've got TJ just about to sit down with us.
Yeah,
TJ Ward, of course, he was a three-time Pro Bowler during his time there with the Broncos. And in Super Bowl 50, he recorded seven tackles. He got an interception and a fumble recovery.
We're bragging on you, TJ.
We're bragging on
you. Come on in.
Talking about that big Super Bowl win, Super Bowl 50. Years ago. So TJ Ward on set with us. TJ, thanks so much for joining us. What brings you to Radio Row?
You know, being a Super Bowl champ, you guys like to hear from us. No.
Yeah, we do. You're not wrong.
I'm here every year. It's just a good time to, you know, mingle, talk to the media about certain things and specifically what I'm have going on, whether it's, you know, football related or not. But right now, I have an agency that I started about 3 years in. It's called Player Above Sports. So been working on that diligently for going on 4 years now. So
tell us about that. What do you do?
It's a full management representation company. And basically, we handle the contracts. We handle the day-to-day financials if needed. Pretty much any resource that a player needs.
So step over, Clutch Sports. You're coming.
I mean, you got to make room, please. Scoot over just a little bit. We're not right there yet, but, you know, hopefully we'll get there one day.
He is T.J. Ward, a former Bronco player. Would love to ask you about the Bronco team.
Yeah.
Obviously, Sean Payton had his first season there. They made some inroads. They got, I think it was a year of progress. But what about the fate of Russell Wilson? There are rumors all over that he might be traded, that his time with the Broncos is going to come to an end. What do you think the fate of the Broncos and Russell Wilson looks like to you?
Oh, man. It's probably is.
That's
up
a head scratcher.
Yeah, it's for everyone, right? It's like, that's
they
a tough
gave
decision.
Up so much to get both Wilson and Peyton.
Either decision is going to be a bad one. It's like there's no really good you could come. It's almost like a scab or something. It's going to have to come from starting over freshly and that type of situation. Mm-hmm. But the immediate, there's no good from the immediate outcome of that. Like either he stays, you pay him. Hopefully he plays a lot better, very well. He had a pretty good season this year, actually. The numbers says that, but, you know, numbers don't always tell the truth.
Yeah, that's very
As much
true.
As they say numbers don't lie, sometimes they do. But, and if they release him, you know, it's a hit against the cap. Now you don't have that player you're paying, and you got to pay another player to play that position. So in the immediate future, there's no win, but there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you're saying they're probably going to have to go backwards before they can go forward, regardless of where Wilson ends up.
Yep.
Okay, so you've got your green duck jacket on here. What in the world, TJ, I got to ask you. The Pac-12 is now pack your bags. I mean, they're down to two.
Oh, man,
what in Oregon State, Washington State, that is it. What in the world did you see this coming?
I did not.
Thoughts? I love your thoughts. You're a standout duck for Oregon.
Man,
tell us about this.
It's tough. Especially as good as the season that the Pac had this year as a whole. It's like,
they were the best
break
conference.
This up?
They were
now,
the top conference.
Like, I could see maybe the thought of, a few years ago where we were kind of struggling a little bit in recruiting and television, the contract was terrible. I'm going to tell you what destroyed the conference. It was that Pac-12 network, Pac-10.
100%.
Because when I was in college and we were at the height of that time, we hadn't gone to the Natty yet, but, you know, we went to the Rose Bowl and we were, you know, Fiesta Bowl year in, year out kind of. We were on ABC Saturday mornings. We were on ESPN Saturday nights. Thursdays we play on ESPN. We were televised. Even if it was late, the world got to see us. half the games that the Pac play are on the Pac-12 network. Who subscribes to that?
And I'm a Pac-12 fan. I don't subscribe either. And that's like,
the broadcast is terrible.
Yep.
The visuals is not very well. The camera work is not very. It's just, it's a step down. And then you go to these other conferences, the Big 12, Big 10, SEC. They're on ABC, ESPN every week, multiple times a week. You got six SEC games on maybe
a night.
Yep. And then who's going to stay up to 1 in the morning to watch Washington State play Boise or whoever.
Or Arizona State.
Or Arizona.
I mean, good Lord.
On the Pac-12 network.
Yep.
It ruined it. So.
No, they did, but you brought up a good point because it was soon as we saw at the beginning of the season that the Pac-12 was going to crumble to nothing when USC and UCLA led the way to head to the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was like you find out that your partner cheated on you. All of a sudden, you start behaving. Mm-hmm. That's what happened. The Pac-12 kicked it up, and I'll tell you, they were a better conference to watch than the SEC this year.
But
they
also,
were fun.
They were, man, it reminded me of the heyday of the Pac-12.
Wasn't it?
Like, quarterbacks, when we ran the quarterback show, like, every quarterback was from the Pac.
You did.
It definitely reminded me. I think what also helped it was the portal.
Because,
you know, it helped a lot of schools. Because the top dogs couldn't hoard talent. Like, you're not playing me, I'm out. I'm going to start somewhere
else.
Very
true. Mm-hmm.
So that ability to be like, okay, I'm not sitting behind this guy that's going to go first round for 2 years. I'm going to go over here. And I'm going back home. Like, I may have been a California kid, West Coast kid. I wanted to try the SEC. And, you know, a lot of times there's a little kind of unwritten rule that other regions don't take care of, like, if you're a West Coast kid, the South is not going to take care of you like they're going to take care of a South kid. Mm. And sometimes you see that when California kids that disappear, he was a top recruit in California, and they go to these other schools and they
kind of
fall off the mat because they don't have no loyalty to you. You're from the West Coast. They got this kid from Georgia that, you know, you might be a little better than, but he's been here for a long time. His family is rooted here. There's so many, like, nuances that kid is going to play over you. And
yeah, there's some nepotism going on there.
For sure. So, and it happens vice versa. When you have a kid from the South coming to the West Coast, you might face that same thing.
Yep, you got to prove yourself a little more than the West Coast guys.
Exactly.
So you're a San Francisco native.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you for the 49ers this weekend, TJ?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a player, Kevin Givens, so rooting for him. And of course, my hometown, I like to see my family happy. So if the Niners win, my family's happy and ecstatic. So.
Exactly. I grew up in San Francisco, too.
Yeah,
it's a great
so
place.
They're diehard.
Oh, man, they are diehard. And they have a lot to be diehard for. 5 Super Bowl champions in that in that franchise.
Yeah, that's when I was growing up. Got to see every one of them. It made me a fan.
Like, oh, that's great.
I watched Super Bowls, well, not in the 80s. I was born in 86. But,
oh, my gosh. I could be your mother. Dang it.
You should hear some of the reactions I get when I tell some of these players now how old I am. They're like, damn. I'm like, hey, man.
Yeah. Calm the Jets. Hey, that's not old.
The response was not needed. I know. But
you look like you could jump back on the field.
Yeah, I know.
I could. I think I could, honestly. If I train like these guys, I could play again.
You think I was going to say.
Not really. But I wouldn't mind giving it one last little push. You know?
Okay, TJ, I'm all about it. Look at you. You're ready to go.
I'm ready to go.
It's
not like
the
game is super physical right now anyway. Yeah, it's almost like flag.
Yeah. Well, you're right. Mm-hmm. And
so
that's good.
I think I could last a little bit longer in today's game.
Okay, I think we're uncovering something here. I think this needs to be your goal.
Well, mount
next
a comeback.
Year we're gonna see, mount a comeback.
Yeah, man.
I love it.
To be the longest hiatus and comeback in NFL history.
Wow. When did you retire? What year?
Officially 21. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's not that. That's not 20, too bad.
21. I think it was like right at the verge.
And that was at Tampa Bay at the end.
Tampa Bay was my last year. Then I was out 2 years, and then I was with Arizona for like 2 months, quick. Like
okay.
A cup of coffee, I was gone.
Under Kingsbury?
Yep.
Okay, wow.
Yep, Vance Joseph.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
yeah,
he is
Denver.
He is TJ Ward. What a great career you had, and congratulations again on wearing a big Super Bowl ring with the Broncos. TJ, thanks so much for coming by.
Yes,
and we hope to see you back on the gridiron.
That'll be a blessing.
Oh, yeah.